2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5 this morning in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. We've been studying Paul's life through the book of Acts and the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles Luke wrote about. The early church began to spread, and the early focus of the book of Acts was on Peter and James and John spreading the gospel and facing the examination by the high priest and the Jewish officials over their preaching and belief in Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee and a Jew, but he was also born as a free Roman citizen, which kept him alive on several of occasions, because they would have just allowed the Jews to kill him, or they would have imprisoned him in a worse way. But being a Roman citizen, he had certain rights. And we know the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And his meeting with the Lord totally changed his life. And he immediately began to preach Christ. And he was always apologetic about the fact that he had persecuted the church in the past, before he got saved. And now he has a great burden to carry the gospel message to the world. He has a burden for his own people, the Jews, but God especially sent him to the nations of people who were not Jews. Has God changed your life? Do you know there's been a definite time when you got saved, and has your life evidenced that? The Apostle Paul lived examination after examination by Roman officials and by the Jews and by even the Christian churches. As he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he's been under scrutiny by the believers. Even after spending 18 months with them and preaching day and night and helping get this church going in Corinth, and now he's writing the second letter, and he's still dealing with a biblical or spiritual way of defending himself to some who question his authority as an apostle and doubts about their own lives. In verse 5, he said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We're glad that when we are weak and you're strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction." Let's pray. Father, as we look in your word today, I ask you to guide me. I want to help your people. And Lord, I want to help the unsaved to know Christ as their Savior. I know the struggle that sometimes people face in having doubts or worrying about their life, some evidence of sin that has caused them to doubt whether they're a Christian or not. And you said very clearly in your word that we ought to examine ourselves to be sure that we're in the faith. And so I ask for your help today in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Has God changed your life? Can you stand up to the examination that the apostle had to go through with the Jewish leaders, with the high priest, with the family of the high priest, with the Roman officials, with the Christian churches, with the unbelieving idol worshipers? He, like Peter, James, and John, had been examined by the Jewish elders on several occasions. Back in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 9, because James and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer, and the man sitting there lame from his mother's womb asked alms of them. And they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the man was healed, and he went praising and leaping that he had been healed with his legs. And they gave glory to Christ, but the elders examined them to see how this miracle was done and why it was drawing such attention toward them after the Jewish people had rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Now, Paul later is arrested when he's going to Jerusalem. And this arrest in chapter 21 we saw is really a lifesaver to Paul. He was about to be killed by the Jews, and he's arrested by the Roman officials and taken into custody, which really saves his life. In Acts 22 and verse 6 through 21, Paul gives his testimony before the crowd. The Roman centurion allows him to speak to the crowd, and he takes the opportunity to share his testimony with them. He tells about the Damascus Road and how he met the Lord and how he had lived as they had lived, persecuting Christians. But when he came to know Christ as his Savior, his life changed completely. And Paul became a faithful witness for the Lord. The captain of the guard wanted to bind him and scourge him so that it would cause him to tell the truth under examination, like being in court. He wanted to tie him up and beat him, and that way he'd get the truth out of him, just exactly what it was that these people wanted to kill him for and what was going on. But when he learned that Paul was a Roman citizen, it was unlawful for a Roman to be bound if he'd not been tried and found guilty of something. And so this again worked in Paul's favor. Examine him. The officials examining him. But in 2 Corinthians 13, he writes for us to examine ourselves to see that we are true to the faith. Paul was examined by the council and the high priest. He was examined by Felix, the governor. He was examined by Festus, a Roman ruler. He appealed his examination unto Caesar, the ruler of all Rome. And as a Roman citizen, he had that right to make that appeal, like we have a right as an American citizen to appeal to the Supreme Court of the United States in a case where we don't believe we're being treated right and it's not being treated right in the court system. We can appeal to a higher court. While he's waiting to be transferred to Caesar, he comes before King Agrippa. And Agrippa wants to hear this man and hear what he has to say. And Paul is pleased to share his testimony again before King Agrippa, chapter 26 of Acts and verse 13 through 18. He tells about the Damascus Road and the blinding light and being blind for a period of time, and Ananias coming and telling him, and he received the Holy Spirit and his eyes, he received his sight, and he was baptized and he became a preacher immediately of Jesus Christ. And he had a testimony. And then we come to Acts 27. And Paul and 276 souls load up on a ship to go to Rome to appear before Caesar. As they go across the Mediterranean Sea, they're late in the time of year and a storm comes. They had a false hope with a fair winds, and they thought they could make it. And Paul warned them. But who was Paul to tell them about how to sail the ship and all of that? And the owner of the ship told him, yeah, we can make it. So they set sail. People ought to listen to Christians. Christians could give better advice to our country on how to run this country than these politicians that are paid and are up there just to steal money and make money and become multimillionaires off their politics. We have an insight with God, and Paul had that kind of insight. So going across the Mediterranean Sea, a great storm arises. It's named in the Bible, Euroclydon. And the definition of that name means a northeastern wind. It was a great storm. This past Saturday here locally, we had the kind of storm that blew limbs out of trees and blew trees down, and we had strong rains. We had warnings of hail. We had thunder and lightning, and I could see the trees around my house just whipping, you know, with the winds and that sort of thing. Every time that happens, I always say, thank you, Lord, that you're not going to destroy the earth with a flood again, you know. And I'm looking for the rainbow to come out. Well, Paul was in a great storm, and they wrecked the ship in a small island off the coast of Sicily called Melita at that time and later called Malta. It was a 14-day storm that drove them all the way across the Mediterranean Sea, and they pointed the little ship in toward the islands where two seas met, and that area is now called the Apostle Paul's Bay. And they went into that and wrecked the ship aground, and the ship was destroyed, but every person was safe to shore. They were going to kill all the soldiers, but the Roman centurion, Despair Paul, kept the soldiers from doing that. And they all were safe to land. It was an answer to prayer. And they began to look to Paul for spiritual strength. In 2 Corinthians, this apostle writes to the believers, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That examination is mentioned in numerous passages in the Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 11, 28, we are to examine ourselves before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Examine our heart. Make sure we're not harboring sin. For partaking of the Lord's Supper while living in open sin is a danger that the Corinthian church faced, that many of them were sick and some had died as a result of improperly taking the Lord's Supper. The examination of ourselves. There's a couple of different Greek words that are translated examine. And the one in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, parazo, means to test, to assay, or to prove. The one in Acts 4, 9 means to scrutinize or investigate. Turn over in your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Christian life's a journey, and we walk with God. And as we grow in the faith and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the walk becomes steeper. The more you know and the more you grow, the more God requires of you. And the road becomes steeper. We're running a race, and we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's imperative that we don't get sidetracked, that we don't get tempted away from the straight and narrow path, that we don't get lured by temptation into something that we know is wrong, but because of our desires that we yield and do it anyway. God is at work in us. Look at Philippians 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. These people must have been independent Baptists that were written that. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Can you imagine verse 15, us standing before God, blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, even living in this world that we live in, a perverse world, a wicked world, as he says in Galatians, this present evil world in which we live. Paul writes about the importance of believers making sure their life is right with the Lord and the testimony that we ought to have in our walk with God. Christian life has delivered us from the wrath to come. If you want to look back, I'll do it quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So recognizing that God has saved us and delivered us from the wrath that's to come upon this world, and that we're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what great motivations those are, that we live for the Lord so that we're going to be blameless and acceptable in his sight when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. If we've been saved by the grace of God from the evil and the wickedness of sin, then we ought to love the Lord, and we ought to appreciate the Lord, and we ought to have a testimony to speak up for him, and it ought to give us a peace in our hearts. Even though in our flesh we are weak, in the power of the Holy Spirit we can be bold to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He addresses problems to the Corinthian church, more problems than any other church in the New Testament. Those who are saved could have joy and peace, and they could focus on their salvation. And as a church, we should be rejoicing that we're saved. Every Sunday is a time for us to sing praise to God and rejoice in our salvation and be a witness and a testimony. If we could get our unsaved loved ones and friends here in the service to see the Christians and how they worship God and the truth of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts to draw them to God. But sadly, often we who are the Christians are grumpy and irritable and self-centered, and sadly, many are unfaithful. One writer wrote, "We've become too possessive of small things and too casual about great ones, too defensive of ourselves, and we ignore what God has to say. We talk of love, but too often we speak of all the things we hate." The church at Corinth was young, and Paul spent 18 months here preaching and teaching. But this church has so many weaknesses and so much trouble. It mirrors the church of today. The congregation ought to be Christ-like, ought to be holy, ought to be walking with God. But you'll find every problem sitting here in this congregation this morning that you could possibly mention in the list of sins among unbelievers. From division to immorality, the Corinthian church compares to the church today. And let me mention, this church is a Bible-believing fundamental church, so it is a notch above many that are nothing more than social clubs today. At least we know Christ is our Savior and we're seeking to live for the Lord. But God help us to have a testimony. God help us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Thirdly, do you remember what God has done for you? Do you remember where he found you in sin? Do you realize the price he paid to pay for your sins? If we think, we ought to thank. We ought to give gracious thanks to the Lord for his mercy and his grace in saving us. Philippians says God is at work in us, and he'll continue to work in us until he's finished and takes us home. We belong to him. We're part of the family of God. We are his children. We are the saints of God, the sanctified ones that have been set apart for a purpose and a plan in God's plan. We reflect the character of God for the world to see. What Bible does the world read? Usually none. If they see Christ in us, we may be the only Bible that they will read. So it's important that we know the Scripture to share Christ with someone and how to be saved, and that we are ready to do that, and that we live a testimony before the world. Paul shared his testimony over and over. And we ought to be able to share our testimony when God saved us and changed us and made us what we are today. Examine ourselves. Be motivated by the coming of our Lord and our waiting for that, the completion of our salvation with the Lord. Over in Colossians chapter 1, this emphasis is repeated in several passages of Scripture. In Colossians 1 and verse 12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." This salvation that we possess in verse 19 through 23 gives us some more results of it. "It pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell," the Scripture says. In verse 20, "having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So again, he's talking about presenting us to God as holy and blameless and unreprovable in the sight of God. And the call is for us to examine ourselves to be sure that we're in the faith. Paul said, be sure that you're believing the gospel here in Colossians 1 in verse number 23. Jude makes mention of how Christ is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne of God. Boy, that's some fine words for us to rejoice in and know that if we have genuine salvation, the promises of God to present us blameless and faultless before the throne of God. Is our hope the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ? If we are the receivers of the grace of God as Paul was, and we've been equipped by the Holy Spirit, and we've been given the church and the Bible to help us to grow, then we ought to be people who deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, we will live purified, holy, harmless, undefiled, incorruptible, immortal, blameless, unreprovable in the sight of God. Well, I don't feel like I match that description very much today, but I'm looking forward to the day when I do, when we stand before God blameless in the sight of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But for now, let us examine ourselves. And let us, as Philippians says, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, being faithful to live out the Christian life as we should. If you're not saved, if you examine yourself and you doubt whether you know Christ is your Savior, we stand ready today to help you, to show you from the Scriptures how you can know for sure that you're saved. But many times Christians need that examination on a regular basis because we let things creep into our lives. And even if we're not doubting our salvation, we'll become ineffective in our testimony to the world around us. And we need to confess that sin to God and forsake that sin and seek again to be on the straight and narrow path following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've slipped or failed, you're unsure about the evidence of your life demonstrating Christ, then come this morning for repentance and forgiveness. The Lord says, come. Come unto me. He wants to give you what you need by grace and mercy, a cleansing and a fresh start. And he has the power to do that. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the folks being here today. Pray your blessings on this congregation. Lord, we've all met people through the years that profess to be a Christian, but they don't seem to have the evidence of it in how they live their daily life. I pray, Father, if they hear this message on the internet, or if there's someone here today that shares it with them, or if there's someone here today that fits this, I pray the Spirit of God will work in hearts and draw people unto yourself, that we might be clean, fit vessels for your use. and we might honor and please you and look forward to that day where we're presented faultless before the throne of God. Bless now this invitation because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.